Hello, and welcome to Espacito, the Espagenesis podcast, as we continue in our tale of dwarves and insect creatures, and there's some other stuff going on, and it's tremendously exciting, honestly. You may not know it yet, but I know it. Tom knows it. Other Tom knows it. Mike's unsure. Aaron's sleeping. God, this is wittery. I'm going to stick with it because I'm having to record this in a slightly different format because one of my laptops has died. And so I can't really start again. My name's John. I'm the Dungeon Master or Games Master for Espacito. And thanks for continuing to listen to us and sharing and liking. And, you know, if you have the time, leave us a rating or a review on iTunes or Podbean or Google Podcast. I don't know if you can do it on Google Podcasts. Anyway. Thanks very much. Here's a quick message from Tom Owen. Tom, take it away.
The next sequence in the show, alas, is lost. The pertaining can of film was destroyed in a drink-related misadventure in Deansgate. It was an idiotic altercation which I bitterly regret, both for personal and professional reasons. We have reconstructed the missing scenes with added narration from the available cast. I hope this does not impair your enjoyment of the drama. Hi, Tom Owen here. Little Garth Marenghi's Dark Place Easter egg for you there, because that's the only way I know how to deal with significant emotional events. What I'm trying to say is that due to a bit of an audio cock-up on my part, some podcast gold has unfortunately slipped out of the pan and into the river of nothing. What I'm trying to say is that I've lost some audio. Sorry about that, guys. The start of the episode will be a little different to usual. John's going to be narrating the events up until the point where the players kick back in. Again, sorry about the loss of the actual audio there. There was some good fun stuff in there, which might get referenced a bit later on. We'll try not to for continuity there. I'd like to say it won't happen again, but I am very clumsy, so there is a good chance it might. But anyway, try and enjoy the episode. Take care, guys.
Once more aboard the ship, you return to the Urgos, the capital ship of the Dwarven fleet. The Zamaron ships in orbit of Unenda have resumed a holding pattern and don't seem to be paying too much attention to anything going on beyond the atmosphere of the planet. Even the ships harrying the convoy seem to have abandoned that role and returned to the Hive ships. As you approach, a voice crackles over the comms.
This is the flight control of the Urgos. Dendu ship, you are cleared for landing in the main hangar. Welcome back. Put your party suits on.
The ship is guided in, and you can already see a huge crowd has formed. There's a small podium that's been set up at the far end of the hangar. As you leave the ship, you are hit by a wave of cheers. A band is playing somewhere, though it's hard to pick out where they are. The song is cheerful military marching tune. Dumas, you recognize it. It seems an odd choice. It's the song that's played when dwarves graduate from the military academy. As you make your way through the crowd, you are greeted by the Chancellor and some of the other members of the Security Council. The Chancellor walks up to you, Dumas, and takes your hand. And as she does so, she leans in and whispers to you, "We need to celebrate now, but we have matters to discuss afterwards. For now, smile and wave." You are led to the stage and lined up next to the podium. Guthrum seems to have been caught up and is stood in the line next to you, looking somewhat confused and a little out of place. The Chancellor stands, the noise in the crowd hushes, and she begins. "Friends, this week we suffered the darkest hour in our proud history. Not since the Dendu Wars have so many lives been lost, and make no mistake, this is darker still than those times. We have saved what we can. We are still here, and still strong, but we are an endangered species. At this point. This last day, we were overjoyed that over 200 of our brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, children and friends have been rescued from an unimaginable fate on Unenda. These brave souls," and she indicates to you, "most of them strangers, risked their lives in a fight that was not theirs, and they have not only saved the lives of our loved ones, they have brought back vital intelligence aside from the brave Dumas Korriban, a dwarf whose name will go down in our history books. This act was performed by Offwelders, a human, an Eldorai, and even a Dendu. At that, whispers and murmurs start to fill the space, and she holds up her hand and the crowd is silenced once more. These brave few had no reason to put themselves at risk, and yet they have. Their honesty, integrity, and bravery shows that there is strength in diversity. There is purpose in unity. The outside is needed now more than ever. We cannot stand alone, and we will not stand alone. Today we honor these brave few, and we remember the great many brave souls we have lost. In turn, she awards each of you a medal made of adamant with diamonds set into it. And then she arrives at Guthrum, who has stood awkwardly on the stage. A look of confusion kind of crosses both their faces, and out of medals, all she can think to do is shake his hand. She turns once more and announces, "I am proud to welcome these four into the Order of the Sifri." The Order of the Sifri, just so you all know, roughly translates to the Order of the Hammer. It is the highest honor available in Dwarven society. And whilst it may not mean much to Dora and Hud, for Dumas and Rebuk, this is kind of difficult to comprehend. A number of other speeches follow. You're given food and strong Dwarven ale and are paraded for the great and the good to see. And so the night goes on. Dumas proceeds to drink far more than his usual fill to cope with the contradiction of always being something of an anti-establishment character and now being awarded the highest honor in Dwarven society. Hud gives his medal to Guthrum, feeling guilty for the young dwarf being on the stage and having participated in the rescue but not being honored in the same way that the rest of them have. Dora then convinces Guthrum to hand the medal over to her for safekeeping, air quotations, and contacts her Shadownet dealer, whom she calls Phileas Flimflam, to find someone else on Urgos who she can sell the medal to. It's at this point that she learns that the other contact that Phileas has aboard the Urgos is one Dumas Korriban. Rebuk spends his time drinking and coming to grips with the fact that he, Adendu, the most despised enemy of the dwarves, has now been awarded their highest honor. These people have shown their worst and best to Rebuk. Many participated in the genocide of his people, yet a community were willing to rescue and take him in. Others still murdered that family for their kindness, and now he fights alongside the remains of this endangered species to free their world. It's a confusing state of affairs, to say the least. Hud goes to speak with Colonel Felcher in the medbay. The Colonel is on a lot of painkillers and is trying and failing to handle the guilt of having lost so many lives on the planet. With tears filling his eyes, he thanks Hud for his help. He calls Hud a good man, which is something that Hud is not willing to hear. At the end of the night, Cadet Guthrum takes you to your quarters, which have been permanently assigned to you aboard the Urgos, a luxurious apartment on the upper decks of the ship. As he leaves, he turns and says,
The Chancellor has asked if you would meet her for breakfast at 900 hours. I'll be here to pick you up and take you to her."
That's Guthrum's new voice, by the way, everyone. Dora, as you sleep, you dream of space, of nebula and red giants, asteroids and black holes. Your consciousness drifts through the cold endlessness of space, observing the glory and magnificence of existence. But you feel uneasy. A constant nervous tension underlies the wonder and beauty of everything you see. Drifting through a sector of space with traffic of ships ferrying people to and fro, you begin to hear a whisper, almost imperceptible. You see time race by, wars rage, civilizations rise and fall, and all the while you hear this whisper, something about balance, something about a cycle. And then a snippet of this whisper comes sharply into focus and it speaks directly to you. What was a whisper becomes a booming voice, edging your clumsy way into things that are not for you, things you do not understand. This is not for you. And as that last word reverberates, you find yourself in a void, not the wonder of space, but a complete lack of anything. And you feel something strong but unseen grabbing at your feet and at your legs. It feels at once like this force is pulling at you, but is not quite there. And yet its immense strength is impossible to fight. You look down and you see a mouth lined with thousands of teeth gaping open, drawing you in. And you wake up. Cold sweat covering you, unsure for a moment where you are or how you got here, and with the pounding headache of an enormous hangover. Guthrum knocks on the door at about 8:30 in the morning. He takes you to the Chancellor's suite, which is smaller than your own, and it has a table that seems to double up as a place to eat and as an extension of her desk. The bed is visible just around the corner, and there's a small bathroom out on the door to the left for details of her living arrangements. As you sit and eat, the Chancellor launches quickly into the meeting. Thank you for saving the lives of those civilians. I know that is not why I sent you, but it is appreciated. There is a growing tension within the population and within the council. Some want us to gather strength and launch a counterattack, and others want to seek aid from outside the sector and fight off the invaders. Either way, we must go back and reclaim our world, but to me, one of these options seems like suicide. We have lost so many, and no amount of preparation will help us defeat these monsters alone. We need help. Your origins and that you have saved these lives goes a long way to helping me gather support, but I must ask more. We know that they are Zamorin. You've learned that. You've shared that with us. But we have no knowledge of their motives, their intentions, or of their strengths and weaknesses. We need more information, and we need allies.
Now, I can't send a team of dwarves for this. It would be conspicuous. And besides, they'd have no knowledge of where to go, who to deal with. I need you.
Well, let me be the first to say, I know at least one or two of us have connections to get the information that you may need.
Dumas shifts almost imperceptibly, uncomfortably in his seat. Mm-hmm.
But it will cost a price, Chancellor. I mentioned this last night, if you recall. I don't work for free, and I don't think these kindly gentlemen do either.
Yes, I understand that. I hope you understand. We are a civilization on its knees. Our resources are limited. Our capability to pay is hindered. I can make some credit available to you. We have a market of sorts that's been set up in one of the hangar bays on the ship. So I can make some credit available to you there. Beyond that, and welcoming you into the Order of the Sifri, there's not much more that I can do.
That'd be more than generous. Don't push your luck, Dora.
I understand. In the Order of the Sifri, of course, I feel like a king right now. I was in a sauna this morning, and I douched myself and everything. That's the first time in years. First time in years. Obviously, very much appreciated. But, you know, how much credit are we talking? Because if we're talking a mission here, and I feel like we're going to talk about a real mission, we're going to need a lot of credit and a lot of tech, and it's going to be...
So, from what I'm aware of, we can make 600 cubels available to you each. I hope you understand that's nearly 2,500. That is a significant amount.
That seems reasonable.
I mean, it's very reasonable. As ambassadors out across the galaxy speaking to these races, is there anything you can do for our ship?
Well, that is actually an area particularly more restrained than others, as our entire civilization exists entirely on ships. We've provided you with a stealth drive. Beyond that, there is very little we can spare.
Sorry, Chancellor, but obviously it depends on the brief of the mission. Is there anything specific or a bit of intel you'd like us to point towards where you're sending us, basically, that then can point us in the right direction of what we might need
Well, I'm afraid I'm something of a loss there. I feel like you know better than I. I don't know who you could go to for help.
Well, I mean, the smart thing to do would be, I guess, approach the Dendu. They're the last recorded intergalactic civilization that's had contact with the Zamaron, and it nearly wiped out their empire. And if anyone's kept records, it's them. And I guess failing that, then the Balar, but then no one's even sure if the Balar still exists. So
the Balar are ancient. If anyone knows the Zamaron, they've been around the block long enough.
Yes, the question there is how to find them.
Exactly. And the Dendu are easier to find than the Balar. So.
And I would very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with my people.
Do the Dendu have some kind of centralized archive or place of learning that they might chronicle any dealings with alien races?
Well, Dumas, as I'm sure you're aware, we avoid contact with most other species. Obviously, our interactions...
Aye, we do day to day, but you top-level politicians and whatnot, there's contact. We know enough.
There's contact with companies, not with species.
Could I do like a xenobiology check to see if I know about the Dendu homeworld?
I guess that would more be a law history check.
Okay, cool. I'll do a law check. I've got one in it. 8. I have no idea.
You're sure that the Dendu have a homeworld, but that's about as far as it goes.
Do they have a homeworld?
Dora, have you got any ideas?
Jazla, I do have some ideas. I have some contacts that I can go to for such a question.
All right, you're probably going to need this then. And then I throw Dora the pad.
Ah, where did you get that? Do I get like a little flashback again to like him in a frame?
Let's just say I got it special delivery, huh? And then I wink.
Ah, yes. The medal, I suppose.
Yeah, I've got those too.
Well, I've got some more important things available to me than the medal. And I look at Hood. And it's in the form of information. And then I turn back to the Chancellor. Chancellor, I think for such an investment in us in general, you're putting quite a lot of stock in us, I suppose. I think we're going to need as many resources as possible. To do this, we may need a little bit more in terms of cubels. To do up our ship, to repair it for one, for two, to maybe hire some more staff. We need a proper crew. And when that is in place, I think I'd be comfortable to contact my people, so it were.
Dora, the ship can fly fine with the four of us. My people are on the knees. Stop bleeding them dry.
I'm not trying to bleed them dry. I'm just saying this is very important.
I agree. And Chancellor, if you could help us with repairing the ship, that'd go a long way to helping our mission.
Jesus, already done. What repairs have not been made already are being made now.
Thank you.
I mean, I hate to say it, Dumas, but I kind of agree with Dora. Maybe not the way she's saying it. With all due respect, Chancellor, I nod at the Chancellor. This is a fairly extensive mission that you're expecting us to go on here. We're going to be flying blind for a lot of it. And suffice it to say, we've more than likely caught the attention of the Zamaron ourselves. If they're smart, and I think we can all agree that they are, they'll dispatch agents against us. And any resources that we can have to give us an edge against those agents, then I think that would be ideal. And I think, while welcome, I think if we can get access to, rather than credits, maybe sort of resources in terms of
gear, weapons.
Yeah, equipment. Those rifles that we gave you, if your research team have worked out how those work, how those fire, and you know, giving us that kind of knowledge, anything that you can tell us about the Zamora from the autopsies that I assume you've done on the body that we recovered for you, that's all information.
Exactly. And it's possible even, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but to use the weapons that the Zamaron use against them and attach them to our ships almost could be, I don't know if it works, could be crucial.
As you all sort of chime in with all this, she sits quietly and says, research into the weapons and the Zamaron corpse are ongoing. And as yet, there is nothing that we can share, nothing that we know. I take your point. Resources are important. You are, for all intents and purposes, our only hope. Very well. What I can do is extend the credit. Whilst we are in a state of emergency, there is still something of an economy that needs to function. Otherwise, we would collapse. I hope you understand this.
Of course.
I can extend the credit allowed to you to 900.
I mean, might as well make it an even 1,000, Chancellor.
I elbow Dora in the ribs at this point. And I said, thank you, Chancellor. That's very generous. Thank you.
I hope you understand. I know I am asking a lot of you. I know that besides you, Dumas, obviously, the rest of you have no stake in this battle. But it is essential to the survival of our species and possibly to our unification with the rest of the galaxy that you are successful. This is countless lives that hang in the balance.
Chancellor, what is your plan now? Do you stay in orbit? Do you leave the system? What happens to your fleet?
From speaking with my admirals, the Zamorans show no intention of pursuing us. Our plan is to drift towards the edge of the system and hold in the darkness of the void and wait for support or wait for a moment to strike. That's as much as we can plan.
This is only my suggestion, but if push comes to shove, if they do pursue, please run. Please head to the other races. They will do what they can for you. It is not as bad out there as history would say.
If they pursue, we will flee. In what direction we flee, I suppose will come down to the moment that it occurs.
Chancellor, as much as I hear you say it, I think our isolationist ways are probably coming to an end. I think we've lost the planet.
I agree. Our isolationist ways are done.
If we're to survive, we need to take shelter. As much, I don't know how to say it, but we need to trust the other races.
We do, and that is what I am pushing for. However, I am one voice in a crowd. Admittedly, my voice is loud, but there are other loud voices. I am trying to guide our civilization in that direction. However, there are other voices pushing in other directions, and I cannot convince everyone at once.
Look, Chancellor, you awarded a significant award to a Dendu. This must be the first time this has happened in your history. If that doesn't mean something in terms of race relations and expanding and diplomacy, then I don't know what does.
Do you honestly think I was not aware of this when I made that choice?
Well, there you go.
That was one of my motivating factors. I am trying to angle public opinion and political opinion in that direction, but I cannot do it all at once, and I cannot do it alone.
Maybe we can send a message.
It seems like no one's on the other side of it. I think we're all relatively in agreement.
Yeah, shut up, Dora, you're drunk.
This takes more time than simply saying, look, a Dendu saved our lives. Let's give in our isolationist ways. This is gradual. This is not...
It wasn't just a Dendu, there was an Eldori, but I understand.
Chancellor, can you permit me one more favour?
Depends on the favour.
Look, if we're to go out there, me especially being the only dwarf in the team, if I'm to be working in some kind of diplomatic capacity, I think it would be better if I did so with some kind of official status. So with that in mind, I would...
For fuck's sake.
I think I would like to officially re-enlist, if you're okay with that.
He wants to be captain, guys, and I'd say this out the corner of my mouth to the two of them.
Do we already have a captain?
I think re-enlisting is a sensible option. I think lending some credence to this would be useful. I hereby reinstate you and promote you. You are now... Tom, roll a d6 for me.
You know, ensign.
Janitor.
4.
Okay.
Fleet you are now Dumas Corriban.
Re-Admiral. Dumas Corriban.
What the fuck?
Oh,
holy shit, man.
You carry with you the weight of our entire civilization. I hope this burden is not misplaced. I hope this trust is not misplaced.
No, I'll do you proud.
I bet you never thought you'd get
Don't interrupt me, scum. We'll have you flogged.
That's more than you deserve, you villainous dog.
I just want to let you know that was either going to go you remain colonel or you're promoted to rear admiral.
That is a fucking promotion and a half, John.
That is a jump, innit? I love
it. Yeah, I think that's an army to me as well.
It's either it works or it doesn't work. If it
does
works,
that mean we get shitloads of ships that come with us? Or
we're now got a fleet.
the thinking behind that was either it works and you are vitally important to dwarven civilization, or it didn't work and you're kind of expendable.
I mean, I'll take it.
Another thing that we might be better off doing is, do any of us have like a sim unit? Well, I suppose, Dora, your shadow net thing works as a sim unit, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I just thought I had a communicator that I could do that through, but maybe I don't.
No, you also communicator, like, you would need a sim unit to do anything on a white sim.
I've got some kind of pad then. I don't know.
Because it might be worth us providing some sort of knowledge dump for Dwarven society to kind of pour over.
I mean, this is down really to HUD and Dora. Do either of you have a way of accessing the sim?
It was something that I was going to potentially use this new credit to get involved with and buy a sim unit, portable sim unit.
I think portable sim units are a specific item.
Yeah, it was something I was looking at in the equipment for this particular episode.
So I'd say none of you have access to that at the minute.
How have I been making calls?
You don't need the sim card to make a call in this universe.
I've got a burner.
You know that Dendu ship that we captured when we first got off the planet, and that's on this ship?
Yeah, the one you've been using.
Yeah. So assuming that that's linked to the Dendu who were here were linked in some way to the Dendu who are part of the wider kind of galactic community, would that ship have access to the sim?
So based on the age of it, probably anymore. As technology advances, the connection style sort of marches on.
Oh, we're still running like Windows 98.
Yeah.
But could that be kind of cannibalized and upgraded with a successful computer's check?
Possibly. I think it would have to be yourself or Dora that tries to execute that, because obviously Rebook and Dumas have never come into contact with the sim.
Okay. What's your computer's, Dora?
Pretty goddamn awful.
No, I've only got one in it, but
I've got 0, I think.
Okay, well, I can have a crack at it.
Yeah, sure.
That is a 8.
Yeah, you're pretty sure you would have no idea with that.
Yeah. Oh well, worth an idea, worth a shot.
I was thinking about buying a sim unit anyway, like portable sim unit.
Would they have sim units?
Dwarves wouldn't know.
Oh really? Oh shit. Okay.
So more or less this meeting / breakfast comes to an end. You are being awarded 900 each to spend in a dwarven shop of sorts, and you've been asked to look for some help. So I guess The two things that I want to do now, possible, for you to go shopping,
mm-hmm.
and for you to tell me where you're likely to go.
Can we sell stuff too?
Yeah, you can sell stuff too.
Cool. I need some new armor.
I think in terms of where we're going, it'd be good to make it of a call to the old underworld to see Wagwan.
Yeah, if you would like to. You bring out your PDA, you type in Phineas Flip Flap, and press call. There's a couple of rings, and then a voice answers. Hello?
Hey, PFF, you're my BFF, how's things?
Oh, you spell Phineas with a P. Interesting to know.
Yeah, PH, like PH fat, mate, you know what I'm saying?
How can I help you?
Anyway, bit of news. So your friend, Dumas Caraban, the nefarious creature that I've only just realized was nefarious, is now a rear admiral to the Dwarven fleet.
Delightful.
Interesting information, no? I thought you'd be pleased by that.
I am delighted to hear.
We're also off to see what's going on with the old Zamaron situation. Do you have any leads regarding that?
Well, now, this is where we come into the information brokering service.
Mm-hmm. Like it, love it.
I do. I have some information I can share. There are levels of information I can share.
Mm-hmm.
Each has a cost.
Interesting. Bearing in mind, I've just given you a little bit of information about the Dumas Caraban situation. So
yes. Very well, that should be factored in.
And also, here's an interesting thing. Were I to continue on this particular campaign, I could be your ears in the field.
Yes, but as does it appear, could Rear Admiral Dumas Caraban?
But let me ask you this. Has he told you yet that he is Rear Admiral Dumas Caraban? Or are you to know that through me?
This is the first I've learned of it, however.
Interesting that my information is quicker than his. Please take note.
Noted. What would you like to know?
Have there been any other Zamaron attacks in this system?
In the system? No.
Mm-hmm. Don't be coy with me, Phineas, Flippy, Flappy, Floppy, Flu. You know how I will appreciate this.
How much?
So the free bit of information was not in this system, is what you're saying.
That is what you get for Rear Admiral Dumas.
How about the schematics of the Urgos ship? Or at least the schematics of the entire fleet.
And do you have them?
I'm sure I can get my hands on them. I have...
No, I am afraid I will not make any deals in advance of payment.
Maybe I shouldn't have given you that information about Dumas Caraban then. I thought it would pay in kind, but that's fine. Name your price.
Oh, it depends how much you need to know, but I suppose I shall say 100 cubels.
200 cubels for the last known Zamaron attack.
200 cubels for everything I know. 100 for some of what I know.
Beep, 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 beep. You get 200 cubels.
There have been widespread Zamaron attacks across the entire galaxy. Every major species within the Saurim Accord has been assaulted. Every major species has made retreats. The entire galaxy is in panic. It's all a little startling.
And is that all you know? Or is there a specific direction? Or what is the nearest planet to ours? Or at least to the ship Urgos? Maybe the nearest Dendu planet?
The newest Dendu planet. Actually, oddly enough, the Dendu have not been assaulted in this. As their planet sits closer to the galactic center, most assaults have been on the galactic rim.
Rim.
Nice. Yeah, good work. Some hive ships appear to be entering further within. However, most assaults are on the rim.
And Dora does actually laugh at that. So, dropping all our professional garb at the moment, you know, man to man, even though I'm not a man, and technically I don't know if you are or not, right, Phineas? Where do you think we should go next if we're chasing the Zamra?
Well, these are dire circumstances.
In your best interest as well, of course. All that I learn, I shall relay to yourself. And you know I'm good for it.
Every decision I make is in my best interest.
I know.
There are several suggestions I can make. In my best interest, come here to me. I can send you coordinates. In other interests, you could visit the Dendu homeworld. As you say, they are more aware than others of the ongoing conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there are a number of options. You could visit the Infinity Corps. I understand colleague Hud has some connections there. How much they know, I am unaware of, but nonetheless.
I'm not sure I'm best welcome there, but yes, go on.
And beyond that, I suppose, in terms of political gain, the Galactic Corps, Silurane Prime, or possibly the Bastion could be sources of information or support, although I'm not sure. The galaxy in disarray, how much use they could be.
Okay. Rest assured, flippy floppy, flappy flu flu. You'll be hearing from me soon. Enjoy your cupels, and hopefully I can exchange something back to you for similar price, and we can do this back and forth till the end of time.
I do hope so, Dora the Explorer.
Don't call me that, but okay, toodaloo, disconnect. Right. Okay, I will go to the crew. Or to the shopping. The spree! We're going shopping, guy!
Alright, tell me what you do. What's happening? What's up? What's going on?
Oh, shall I share this information first, then?
I'm going to assume they all heard it.
Guys, look, here's the scoop, all right? Every major species on my rim has been attacked by wasps.
Oh, no, not the crab people.
I know, right? I've been applying cream, but just nothing.
I hear they taste like crab, but they talk like people.
Taste like what? They sting like people. Wait, the other way around.
I think there's only one option. The only race not to be attacked is the Dendu.
Sorry, guys.
So we find the homeworld.
I think we go to the Dendu homeworld and see what they know about this situation.
I am in favor of this.
Do you know where the Dendu homeworld is?
I thought my species was extinct up until about 2 or 3 days ago.
I've got no idea. I know they've got one.
You would be aware of where the Dendu sector is located. And it is one of the inner systems. Like, it's basically not hidden. They are pretty open about where they are situated. It's just they happen to be one of the species that their homeworld is not located on the rim, or even near the rim, or the Silurane Arc, as it is currently known.
I mean, look, I could probably get exact coordinates for it, but it would be very much out of our way. And I feel as though we need to be on our way as soon as possible.
Well, there's no point being on our way if we don't know where.
We know a kind of rough location of where the Dendo used to be, right? One system. Or a couple of systems.
What's the point in going where the Dendo used to be? Let's go to where they are.
Same thing.
Fair enough. Okay.
You are aware of this. Like, they retook their home world.
Dumas, do you know the ins and outs of...
I've not a clue, but I'm sure someone in the fleet will. Suppose I could pull some of these newfound strings and I could find someone who has some information. We'll have something, I'm sure.
I mean, to be fair, give me a chart and point me into a vague direction. I can probably work it out. I've got 4 in astrophysics.
I almost think that you're not letting as much on as you actually know, Dumas. But maybe we save that for another day.
You're aware I've been an admiral for all of about 12 minutes. They've not quite briefed me on the Official Secrets Act yet.
You can do your little sarcastic jig all you like, but just so you know, and I lean in and I get really into his ear, proper alcohol breath, and I go, I know. And then I lean back out and I look at him in the eye with my crazy ass eyes.
Dumas looks back with him, but looks back at him. Genuinely, and he's not faking, genuinely not knowing what the fuck he's talking about. Given the last 72 hours that he's just had, this could refer to absolutely anything.
I know. And I do a little Crocodile Dundee.
What are you talking about? Genuinely.
Me and you are going to have a talk soon.
I'm just sort of like looking between Dumas and Dora while they're doing this, and I just slowly turn to Rebook and I just say, want to go shopping?
Rebook shrugs and goes, yes, why not? I have no idea what these people are
about. Yeah, don't leave me with him.
Too late, go and shopping. Let's roll, Rebook.
I'm a woman, I'm a lady.
Shopping montage.
Let's go shopping!